It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Vice President of the United States.
Once called the most insignificant office that ever the invention of man contrived or his imagination conceived by former President John Adams, the 2024 election cycle has seen the current Vice President of the United States thrust into the spotlight following President Joe Biden's resignation from his re-election campaign. But is this because of the individual's gravitas or the convenience of being in the right office at the right time? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. The technical responsibilities of the vice president, as determined in the United States Constitution, include breaking tie votes in the Senate, presiding over and counting electoral ballots cast in presidential elections, and, of course, being the presiding officer in the U.S. Senate. But in 2024, the vice president's duties include not only stepping into the top spot on a party's ticket when the party no longer has confidence in the president, but also taking care of everyday duties while the commander-in-chief seems to be taking an extended vacation at the beach until his term is up. However, she keeps making promises to the American people, as if Kamala Harris doesn't already have both hands in the highest office of the land.
When I am elected president, I will make it a top priority to bring down costs and increase economic security for all Americans.
Harris has just declared that tackling inflation will be a day one priority for her. It's going to be day one, but day one really for Kamala was 3.5 years ago. Where has she been, and why hasn't she done it?
So does the Madam Vice President have power or not? Now, she's saying she will fix the country on day one, but her day one was 3 years ago. So when Kamala Harris, who I remind you is the current Vice President of the United States, points out the insufferable inflation Americans are dealing with, Donald Trump is quick to remind voters this is the consequence of her own administration.
The bills add up. Food, rent, gas, back to school clothes, prescription medication, the cost of food. A loaf of bread costs 50% more. Ground beef is up almost 50%.
Under Kamala Harris and crooked Joe Biden, the American dream was dead, and it is dead. It's dead as a doornail. They'll never bring it back unless we win. If we win, we're going to have the American dream alive, all for your beautiful children.
Plus, her flip-flopping is endless. The latest are the ever-evil plastic straws.
Plastic straws are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should. Yes.
Now, that was Kamala Harris 5 years ago. Now her campaign has come out and says she no longer supports the ban. The other, banning fracking.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020.
But she still stands steadfast in her efforts to combat climate change, of course. So are any of these her views and policies she intends to keep? Or in reality, is she just moving to the middle during this election season just to try and appeal to the moderate vote? Far-left progressive Senator Bernie Sanders, who Harris co-authored bills with in the Senate, seems to think so.
She has previously supported Medicare for All. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
He actually said that on television, doing what is needed to win the election. So has the 2024 election cycle changed the expectations of the vice president's role, not only in this election, but all future elections to come? Well, I want to ask our guest today. Gabrielle Lanes is president of VeVictus and chair Florida First PAC. Steve Malzberg, friend of the show, political analyst and talk radio host, and Abraham Marquez, journalist. Thank you so much for joining me on this one. You know, I want to start actually with you on this, Steve, because some downplay the power of the vice president, well, at least in the current situation. Do you think this is a reality, or is it just because they feel it would not be good for the vice president to be held accountable by the voters for the current situation in America?
Look, this is an anomaly, and hopefully we'll never see this again, where the left, of course, does themselves what they accuse their opponents of doing. Threat to democracy, threat to democracy, threat to last election ever. Well, not one person voted to put Kamala Harris as vice president in the position she's in now. They forced out Joe Biden because he couldn't perform. He should have been forced to resign the presidency because he can't perform that either. And they installed and they bowed down to Kamala Harris. How she was picked, God only knows. And they've invented a candidate. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think if the candidate is older, you have to take account of the vice president. I mean, Donald Trump's no kid. You have to look at J.D. Vance and say, would he be ready on day one? Would Kamala be ready on day one? 2 months ago, would you have said Kamala Harris could be president of the United States? You'd laugh your head off. It's all a joke. Now, there have been consequential vice presidents in the past with gravitas who were picked after they were. George H.W. Bush was vice president to Reagan after he was U.N. ambassador, after he was CIA director. Dick Cheney served in White Houses, chief of staff for Ford and defense secretary before he was picked by George W. Bush. So it varies in stature and importance. But Kamala Harris, the whole thing, this is not a precedent-setting move. Let's pray. Otherwise, democracy is over, and it'll be at the hands of the Democrats.
Steve, I'm just trying to figure out if you're actually trying to praise George H.W. Bush, Dick Cheney. Those are names not normally I hear you actually speak positively of. So it's interesting you said, but in this case, you're just stating a fact.
They had gravitas before. They did a whole bunch of things before that. That's why they were selected by their candidates who maybe felt they needed their guidance and their help. I mean, right. You know, Joe Biden was famous as vice president for telling Barack Obama, don't kill Osama bin Laden. Well, I mean, that's what he's famous for.
Well, it's interesting because you point out different things. Abraham, do you think all presidents utilize their vice presidents as they should, or should they actually expect more out of them than just being kind of like title holders?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a different perspective than your panelists here have, because I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. The way I see it is that they both represent the ruling class interests. They're both going to go to war and fight for the interests of Wall Street. Under the Biden and Harris administration, there was a report and census that came out yesterday that child poverty went up from 5% to 13%. And we saw yesterday in the debate, they didn't even discuss anything that working people actually want to fight for, what we actually need here. So, yeah, I think that both candidates are not going to do anything for us.
But it's interesting you say that, because you do have in this case, Abraham, you do have, and I want to get after the break, we're going to get more into their policies. You do have one vice president candidate who has come out and said, I do not endorse, since we have two people that have both supposedly served in the United States military. I do not endorse any foreign involvement of the U.S. military unless it's absolutely necessary. So do you think that's a change? And is he going to be able to pull Donald Trump back if there are any neocons that exist within his administration? Are you at least hopeful at a vice president saying something like that?
You know, when I heard that comment yesterday that we don't have any military servicemen in any combat zones, I think I call BS, because why do we have soldiers occupying illegally Syria, right? Why do we have over 800 military bases around the world threatening to go to war with Russia and China? They haven't done anything to us, right? So to say that we don't have soldiers in combat zones, you hear reports quite often every year of a soldier dying somewhere. What is that soldier doing there? Right. So I feel like no matter who gets elected, they're going to keep pushing the war machine forward and trying to go to war with Iran, try to go to war with China, try to go to war with Russia, because that's what the Pentagon wants. They published a report a few years ago of getting ready for a major power conflict with China and Russia. So we need to combat that and not allow that to happen.
Well, and that's the thing, Gabriel, as you watch and you look at the different platforms that are coming up. You know, it's fair to the vice president. Is it fair to say that the vice president is the next in line for promotion to the office of president, regardless of whether it happens like it did with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or whether it happened, was in the case of presidential teams like George Bush and Dick Cheney, George Bush and Dan Quayle, even though Dan never actually stepped up to be into that second part. Do you think it's fair to hold that next person, if it's kind of like a third term for that original president, as they said Barack Obama passed on to Joe Biden when he was elected in 2020?
Of course it is. I mean, we had Gerald Ford become president of the United States, did we not? We've had other vice presidents become president. Now you're seeing Kamala Harris rising to the top after having not been elected by anyone and having dropped out before the first primary when she ran for president, her first go around. So absolutely. And Tim Walz, the vice presidency and even a vice presidential nomination is kind of like a tryout for the presidency. We're going to see here in the debate when we start talking a little bit about into policy, what he's all about and how he's going to, what his vision is going to be and which direction he's going to take the Harris administration if they should both get into office. We've seen J.D. Vance come in and help Trump when it comes to things like cryptocurrencies and foreign policy. So I would imagine it's going to be the same thing with Walz if, God forbid, he were to get into office as vice president.
Well, I think that's something to think about now, because, Steve, I want to talk to you about one of your favorite people in this world, Joe Scarborough. And regarding this election, he had this to say about Kamala Harris's historically low vice presidential ratings.
I know Kamala Harris. She's so horrible. Kamala Harris, nobody's going to vote for Joe Biden. Because first of all, let me say it again. Nobody in the history of America has ever voted for a presidential candidate because of a vice presidential candidate.
But at the same time, putting somebody that's so anti-neocons, who's come out and said they don't really want to see foreign wars and foreign involvement, Steve, could a group, as we're seeing with Republicans, not vote for somebody because they don't buy the party's ideology line?
Well, look, the vice president running for president, for running on the ticket, is going to go along with the policies of the president. Trump is there. Trump doesn't want the war in Ukraine to continue. J.D. Vance doesn't want the war in Ukraine to continue. I mean, they're similar, you know, on almost every policy right now. And that's the way it works. To say no one in the history, I know what point he's trying to make. But again, if Joe Biden were still on the ticket, yeah, you would figure he's not going to finish his next term. So let's look at who's going to take over if, God forbid, something happened to him. So I think that would have made a big difference. To a lesser extent, I don't think people think that Donald Trump is something's going to happen to him health-wise, but, you know, he's up there near 80. So maybe people will say, well, let's look at the J.D. Vance guy. So I don't think it matters all that much because they're in sync. If they said, well, I don't care what Kamala says, I'm for this, that would be radical and nuts, and that wouldn't be a VP on the ticket. So I don't think it matters all that much to the voter, unless it reinforces the other side. Like Trump voters, I think, will be so reinforced when they hear Tim Walz and find out who he is. They'll say, what? And I mean, it might, or even independents. She picked him? That could influence it in that way.
Steve, to your point to that, you know, I remember when they picked Mike Pence, they thought it's not necessarily going to bring voters to the Trump ticket, but it's going to make them feel a little bit better when they press the button for him. And I guess Right. It's all about, you know, feeling better at night, warm and fuzzy Republicans. Okay, I want our guest, Gabriel Stephen Abraham, stay right there. Because speaking of voting based just on the vice presidential pick, this would be a great time to take the break, because when we're going to come back, we're going to look specifically at the current vice president's pick and if they are helping or hurting their party's chances at a victory in November. The reviews on J.D. Vance and what he brings to the Republican ticket are mixed, as some say his past comments regarding women are damaging to Donald J. Trump's ticket, especially with an influential and significant voting demographic. Meanwhile, on the left, Democrats still trying to make people forget the last 4 years and recreate a whole new brand behind Kamala Harris and her vice presidential choice of Tim Walz. Now, they're struggling with establishing trust with Governor Walz, from accusations of stolen valor by lying about the details of his service to the National Guard to his highly progressive ideas regarding child sex changes. Governor Walz's nickname, Tampon Tim, has stuck since the first announcement of his position. But do all of these controversies surrounding Vance and Walz actually matter? Well, let's bring back in our panel. Gabrielle Lyons, president of Ve Victus and chair of Florida First PAC. Steve Malzberg, political analyst and talk radio host. And Abraham Marquez, journalist. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for sticking with us through the break. I want to actually start with you on this, Abraham, because with all the drama that's surrounding the top of the ticket, and something we did not say much about was policy questions regarding the foreign affairs of the United States, but now we have two military officials. Do you think Americans will even pay attention to the vice presidential debates this season with hopes they'll get those policy points they've been looking for?
You know, that's a good question, because I think the Harris campaign has been very strategic and not publishing or talking about any kind of policy, because, you know, her campaign when she first ran for president was very unpopular, and Biden's presidency was also very unpopular as well. And if they do start publishing things, people are going to realize that her campaign and her administration is going to be exactly the same as what we're experiencing right now. And what we're experiencing right now is that this administration is fully funding and arming a genocide in occupied Palestine. And she, as you can see from her her interviews and her talks, she's fully supporting that. And so I think most Americans have, there's actually a poll recently that most Americans support an arms embargo of Israel. And so we're going to continue to see that. And I think she's not going to change.
Well, I understand. I know Steve's just going, but to keep this focused on the vice president, we could go off on an issue.
Absolutely.
Between the two of you. I'm going to look at you, Gabrielle, on this one, because I've got to ask, who has the advantage on stage in the vice president's debate, a sitting governor or an Ivy League lawyer?
You would think it'd be the top executive, right? The guy who's at the top making decisions. But in this case, unfortunately for the Harris team, Governor Walz has an extreme agenda that J.D. Vance, who's a sitting senator, can point at. And I think that's exactly what he's going to do. You named it. His nickname has become Tampon Tim. I don't understand how you get away from this type of record, his record, when, you know, millions of Americans are going to be tuning in to see what the Harris policy is going to be when it comes to children. Well, we know what Walz's policy is going to be to children. Is that going to be how Harris is going to govern when she's in office? So there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered here, which J.D. Vance is uniquely qualified to answer. I'll bring this up. President Trump is not a veteran, and so it's very difficult for him to go after or at least question the characterization of Walz. He himself has characterized his own military record, where J.D. Vance, I remind everyone, is a United States Marine and is very well qualified to go after Tim Walz, Governor Tim Walz, and how he's characterized his military record. So tons of Americans are going to be tuning in, and there's nobody better qualified than J.D. Vance to do these things.
That's the thing, Gabrielle. Are you optimistic we're going to hear more about foreign policy in the vice president's debate as well as military operations than we heard in the presidential debate, just because it's the background of both gentlemen on the stage?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was the Harris team, I would stay as far away as possible as I can from policy. And they've been doing a very good job of strategically of keeping her and Tim Walz away from the media and having them not dive into policy. When we saw a while back the presidential debate, most Americans said that what lacked out of Kamala Harris was specificity on policy. The fear is that she's going to give more of the same of Biden. But the truth is she's more radical than Biden. Scotty, I'll remind you that as vice president, the White House, President Biden's own White House, kept her out of the West Wing reportedly multiple times and tried to keep her away from cameras as much as possible. She took one trip to Europe. It was a disaster. World leaders were laughing at her. And that's the exact reason why you're going to see all of the politicos and consultants around her keep her away from the cameras. And the same thing is going to happen to Tim Walz. They're going to keep away from specificity. They're going to press him, and he's just going to talk in generalities.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because speaking of the media, Steve, you're looking at, we got a great template for how the media is treating the two different candidates from the presidential debate that was a few weeks ago. So going into that, what do you predict? How do you think the media is going to handle Governor Walz versus J.D. Vance? And what would be your advice to both campaigns, knowing that potentially could be the same predicted outcome?
Look, it's going to be the same baloney. Of course, I think it was 5 fact checks on site from ABC's 2 so-called moderators to Trump, and no fact checks on Kamala Harris. That was a joke. You could expect more of the same. You could expect them to bring up cat women and all this kind of stuff. And when it comes to Tim Walz, they'll say, you've come under criticism for misrepresenting your military record. The guy has lied about his military record over and over. He said he was fighting in Afghanistan. He lied about his congressional campaign, lied about his drunk driving, driving under the influence, and the plea he made on that. They said he couldn't hear, and that's what it was all about. Had nothing to do with alcohol. Lie. They claim he led his state championship. He coached the team. Assistant coach. That his wife got pregnant through one form of fertilization. Lie. It was a different form of fertilization. This guy lies like he breathes. And the narrative is, we all know a guy like Tim. Oh, he's all of us. Really? Tampons in the bathrooms, abortions without restrictions, sex change operations for minors, and the list goes on and on and on. He's a radical leftist, and if we had a fair media, the public would know it. And maybe in the debate, I think J.D. Vance is really sharp. He's a lot sharper than Trump, a lot more concise. He knows what to do, and he could get Tim Walz, he could expose him.
So, Abraham, are you optimistic, or you think it's possible that any sort of momentum that might be gained, that we're seeing gained from the presidential debates, can be stopped by the vice presidential debates, and that just shows how important vice presidents are in today's ticket?
No, because I feel like most people, when you know, look at the debates, that it's always a personality attack. It's never really about policy. It's never really about what actually poor people are looking for, what students are looking for. There's a report that there's over 1 million college students in this country that are homeless. That's ridiculous. That's disgusting. The fact that we have, it's like one in every 6 children are going hungry in this country, and they don't talk about that. That's disgusting. They don't have anything. There's no movement. There's nothing that pushes them to really do something for the people. And so they just attack each other on based on how they present themselves or if they lied. I mean, we all remember Joe Biden's campaign. He lied on almost every single topic. He said he was going to provide immigration reform. They didn't do it, right? Was going to help with student loans. They didn't do it. Was going to help working class families. They didn't do it. Was going to, you know, I can go on down a litany of lists of stuff that he promised and he didn't do. And for me, I find it very disgusting. They talk about each other, but they don't talk about stuff that people actually want to hear and tangible things that would change the lives of millions of people.
And do you think that they're doing this, Abraham, because they don't have the policy that will change the lives of people? Or if they actually speak it, they might be held accountable for it?
Well, yeah, they will be held accountable for it. And also they do it because, you know, let's be honest, they do what's in the best interest of Wall Street and the banks, right? For the weapons manufacturers, so I'll leave it at that.
Well, I've always said I think it's great for these debates. I wish that they would run them like they run NASCAR and in front of the podiums, have all of their sponsors and campaign donors, the largest ones, actually listed on the podium, put it on their tie. I don't care, but I think that would actually make a lot of sense for where their answers are coming from. I want to thank our panel, Gabrielle Lane, Steve Malzberg, and, of course, Abraham Marquez. Okay, so being the vice presidential nominee is as challenging a role in this campaign season as being the person who runs the teleprompter at a campaign event. Now, on the Democratic side, your nominee was so unpopular 4 years ago that she was one of the first to be eliminated from the primary process. She was only given the spotlight for a quick moment when first nominated to the Biden ticket, but has remained pretty much hidden for the last 3 years. Now, out of a situation that Democrats, I don't think, planned for, she is being given the fastest political glow-up in history, not because of who she is, but because of the poor forecasting of the Democrats. Therefore, if elected, Kamala Harris has already had her party dismiss her before, and now with the Democrats showing they can make the president obsolete with little effort, Harris will always be suspicious if the party might do the same thing to her. Now, on the other side, the Republicans. President Trump's vice president from his first term evolved into the role of Brutus at the very end of the term. And one might even speculate Vice President Pence might have been sabotaging President Trump's entire term behind the scenes. Therefore, this new vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, has to prove his loyalty and not take the spotlight away from President Trump in any form. Play his cards wisely, and if victory in November is achieved, after 4 years, he could be the front runner for the GOP for the successive two terms. However, J.D. Vance's past words against Trump continue to be replayed, making Trump's loyalty even more challenging sometimes to gain. The result is we have two presidential candidates who are suspicious for what I believe to be justifiable reasons. One is suspicious because of an individual's past actions, while the other is suspicious of the actions of their own political party. But hey, that's just my perspective. Find me on X at Scotty N. Hughes and let me know your opinion and your perspective using the hashtag perspective. See you next time. Thanks for watching.